Hello and welcome.
Way to go live there.
I know, right? Lots of excitement here at the Hadley Thorne House of Fur and Fang. Anyway, welcome to the Wild Women of Weird. I am sitting in for Miss Finley Jones this week. This is Hadley, and it looks like it's just going to be me and Jen on today as we talk about the documentary Into the Deep, the submarine murder. So I had not heard of this, Jennifer, so I don't know if you have before we
I didn't look into it like I probably should have.
Well, I want to say that when I first heard about it, that I was just in passing, because this did happen in Denmark. So, and when you hear journalist, I mean, and murder, I just thought that it was some extremist, and I didn't really investigate it. And I believe our cohort Bethany Stutzman had brought it up to watch, and I watched it, and it just caught my attention. I haven't been able to shake this. It's so disturbing. And I've got a little video here with so a little bit of background information if you want to watch it.
Okay.
So let me put it on real quick.
Today on the Wild Women of Weird, we are discussing the documentary Into the Deep, the submarine murder case. Trigger warning ahead, as this crime includes premeditated murder, indecent handling of a corpse, and sexual assault. So here's a short rundown of the facts about the 2017 murder of Swedish journalist Kim Wall and conviction of inventor Peter Madsen. The incident took place on August 10, 2017, miles offshore from Køge Bay, Denmark. Journalist Kim Wall had been pursuing the Danish entrepreneur and inventor for years to get an interview, so when he finally accepted and offered her an invite to see his self-built submarine, she was ecstatic, eager to go. However, while Wall was only supposed to be on board for 2 hours, she did not return home that night and was reported missing the following morning by her partner. Later that day, Peter Madsen was rescued from the sinking Nautilus submarine. The news quickly made headlines, and the inventor was dubbed a murderer. Today, we're going to discuss this documentary about how the Danish genius had killed, dismembered, and buried Kim Wall at sea. Let's get started.
All right, then. That's just a little bit of the background. Hey, Landa. Always beautiful to see your face.
My favorite Landa.
I know. She's she's a diehard. She gets 5 stars from me all the time. So, the thing that I found interesting about the documentary was that it wasn't filmed to be a documentary about this murder. It actually contains footage from a documentary that was being shot about Madsen's rocket launching career, because that's what I think he built 3 submarines and just kind of moved over to rockets because he wanted to go to outer space next. And so this tale, or I guess this documentary, is really kind of the testimony of the people who were closest to him. And the shooting of the documentary goes up into the very day that he took Kim Wall out to sea. And what comes next is kind of the watching as these people slowly grasp the true nature of Madsen and the crimes he's committed, and kind of being aware, like, oh shit, that could have been me.
Hey, Lee Edwards says hello, ladies. And then there's Alan Lassiter.
Hey, guys.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, look at you and your Southern self, girl.
I know. I'm kicking in with the Southernness. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm grinning with your southernness. What y'all don't know is Jennifer actually lived in Mississippi for what, like 2 years?
Yeah.
So she's an honorary Mississippian. She's a Southern Belle at heart.
Well, I didn't think I would ever say y'all, but I ended up there.
All right. So what struck you about this? Because like I said, when I watched the documentary, I just went on a deep dive trying to figure out more. And I don't know if it was because so much of what I found in the news was Danish news that I needed to kind of rewire it where I could understand it better.
I think what struck me was the very end when he was talking. It was part of that documentary that she was doing. When he said, you just never know a psychopath is sitting next to you. You just never know. You don't really know somebody and what their thoughts are. And, you know, if a jury were to say, you know, like, that you're guilty of something, he's like, you should never tell them too much if you're being investigated. Like, he went into great detail on that, and I was like, he was planning it at that moment. Like, he knew that he was about to be in a lot of heat, and I think he thought he would get away with it, though.
Oh, yeah. I think that his ego was so large that he thought that he could tell somebody and they believe anything he said.
Yeah.
But some of the breakdown of his personality was that he was a habitual liar, in addition to being a narcissist and a psychopath. So it was really disturbing to me because you could just see I can't remember names. Y'all know this about me, but there was one guy who had worked with him for 20 years. And he's like, we had dinner at a birthday party over the weekend. And then he goes and does this on Thursday. You know, he goes out and murders this woman on Thursday. And he just, you could see in the beginning, his team did not believe it. And what was, because he blamed some of the people that worked for him, right?
Well, he ended up blaming, he was saying that the searches that he did decapitation, agony, girl. He would do those. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. And decapitation was the other one. And there was something else, torture. And he was saying those weren't his searches.
Yeah. Right.
That he tried to blame it on the intern that worked with him that had access to his computer. And the intern's like, I didn't have access to his computer. You know, yes, I pretty much lived there, but I didn't get on his computer.
Well, so let's give a little bit of the background. So what had happened was Kilmwall contacted him about going, you know, and doing an interview with him. She was about to move to China, and her boyfriend were having a party that night, and she got a last minute invite to go have tea with her. Or tea with him by Peter Madsen, who lived close to her, where she lived, or his office, or I guess not an office, but his workshop. And so she went over there, and she went back to the party for a little bit, and he had invited her to go down on the submarine. So she went back, and the last photos of her that you see of her on the submarine, that was actually taken. I've got another Jen Sammons here. Which one's you?
Okay. I'm getting rid of the one. Hang on.
All right. So,
okay. Go ahead, Heather. I'm very sorry.
So, what happened was her fiance and the friends who were at the going away party were on like a sunset cruise or something. And they see him and her and they wave, and that's the last photo of her. And she texted with the boyfriend back and forth for a little while. And the last text she said is, "I'm still alive." And that was about an hour and a half into the submersible trip. And she said they were about to go down. And so sometime after that was when Madsen decided that he was going to kill her.
And well, I don't think that was that point that he decided that, because he decided it before he left.
Oh, yeah.
He had brought the saw with him. There was no good reason he should have brought a wood saw with him on a submarine.
No. And I just mean that he decided that he was going to do it. Up until the actual moment that he killed her, you know, it was still debatable. But the thing was, so what we know next is the next day he is found floating in the water by these fishermen. The submarine has been sunk or is in the process of sinking. And he has, when they ask him, he had sent out like a SOS. And they asked if all the people on board were fine. He goes, "We're all fine. We're all fine." And then when they pick him up, he's like, "I'm the only one." And so they started asking, because the last known person, which by this time, again, the boyfriend had called the police, he'd called the Navy and wanted them to look for her because she was missing. And so where is she? Well, Madsen says, "Well, I dropped her off." You know, it just doesn't make sense. But he said he dropped her off close to where she lived, which was close to the water, and that he went back out. And when he was back out, he started having problems. Well, you know, there's actually a picture, and it's a picture of him, and it's the one that I use in the video, but you can't see it because it's not big enough, I'm sure. But that photo, you can see there's blood like splashed up around his nose on a like magnified version of that photo. So it's all kind of weird when they come back and he's, you know, at first he's saying he put her out, she can't be found. The next thing he says is, there was a tragic accident. She was coming in, you know, down, and the hatch hit her in the head and fractured her head. And so they're like, okay, well, that's a different story. And they start looking for her body. Well, 10 days later, washed up is a human torso that DNA tests positive to be her. And it is a torso. The legs, the arms, and the head have been removed. So at this point in time, they're pulling out the submarine. They pull out the submarine. This, I guess it's a naval investigator, I guess. They go down into it, and they're seeing flesh, bits of flesh. And they said they reached down, and they felt something wet on their pants, and they brought their fingers up, and it was the coppery smell of blood. And so at this point in time, they know that he's lying. So he gets indicted. At first, it was indicted on wrongful manslaughter, I think. And
when the dismemberment of a corpse or something like that.
Yeah. And I think when they found the head and the arms, and they started finding that stuff, was because it was all weighted down with material from his workshop.
Yeah. He put it in bags with weights.
Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for them to find. They looked over a 200 acre area with a maritime researcher, oceanographer type person who knew a lot about how the waterways worked there. And that was when they started having success finding stuff. But it was just gruesome. And then he said, she didn't hit her head, because they found the head, and the head had no fracture, by the way. So the head has no fracture. They're doing this investigation, and he starts saying, "Well, she died of carbon monoxide poisoning. I went up and she stayed down in the hatch, and, you know, this happened." And so then it was like, well, whoa, whoa. Well, why did you dismember her? And then he was saying, oh, well, he could, she deserved a burial at sea if that was the way she was going to go out. And so he decided to take her out. In order to get her out of the hatch, he had to dismember her body.
I don't know if this is what you were wanting me to contribute, but I can't help but think how much he is like Elon Musk. Like he was an inventor. Like he was famous there. Someone who,
well, he's called and been compared to Elon Musk many times. And that's not to say that Elon Musk is a murderer, but similar genius, similar inventor, similar
weirdness.
Yeah, not really good with people. Well, when they did say that he did use the submarine to get ladies.
Well, yeah, probably.
You want to go
a selling on? Point. I've got a submarine. How many guys can say that, right?
You want to go on a ride on my submersible? That wouldn't work for me. I don't know about y'all, but yeah. So the next, like I said, they go to trial and stuff starts coming out. One of the things that I found incredibly interesting was there was a lady who worked with him, a young girl. I would say she's probably what in her young mid-20s, you think?
I'd say, yeah, she was pretty young. And I don't know if she was digitally changed, but that's one of the things that would make me think that she was in her mid-20s, but she could be older. I mean, she didn't sound older, but that was also something that they changed for her anonymity.
Do you want to tell that part?
Well, she was being lazy like most of us can be and working pretty slowly on stuff and kind of sent him a message being flirty, which it come to find out, I think that she and him were sleeping together, but she had said, you know, can't you just like threaten to murder me so it'll make me move faster at work? And he's like, a death plan, we can do that. And this same person is the one that he texted the day of the disappearance, I believe it was the day or the day before, one of the two, and said, we should go out in the ship. It's so great. It'd be perfect. We'll go out for the day or whatever. And she said, sounds great to me. And she had a lot of guilt related to this case because, she actually said the words, I feel like Kim Wallace haunting me, saying, why didn't you tell me how dangerous he was?
Well, again, this is, you see in the beginning, she didn't necessarily believe it, but as the documentary goes on and they're finding out more information as the trial's going on, she realizes that it could be her. And it probably very likely was the plan was meant for her. And I can't imagine living with that, you know?
Right. I think he was planning it generally, though. He was also doing a lot of research online with that stuff. And there was a video of a woman slowly being killed and what happens to her. They said it was very realistic, even if it's not real. But they believe that it was. That she was being murdered, basically. And he watched it numerous times.
It's called a snuff film, I think.
Well, yes.
For those who don't know.
But I don't know about the Danish. Is that what it's called in Copenhagen?
That was what it was called on the a lot of the stuff that I saw. And I'll say this, that there was another woman that he was kind of like work colleagues with who was not involved with him romantically ever. She just wasn't, she never saw him that way. But he had also tried to get her to go out on the ship. And she had said, oh, well, okay, I'll bring the kids. And he's like, no, just you. And she said, well, what about my husband? We can come. It'll be great. And he's like, no, just you. And so she said that was weird and she was not going out with him. And so it was just like he was just looking for someone. Well, Kim Wall had contacted him months before this date. And I think it was it August? I think it was August of 2017. And she had contacted him months before and they had talked a bit, but he just never really followed up. So this was, like I said, a spur of the moment. And she was a credible, very well-renowned journalist. She went to school at Columbia in New York. She graduated from some London business thing. And I mean, she had done, I want to say,
been on The Guardian. She'd had stories with The Wire. She New York Times.
Yeah, she was. She had done a lot of really credible work in Haiti, Sri Lanka, and maybe Sierra Leone. I can't remember. Like a couple of places where, you know, she had been in danger. She had been in dangerous positions, so it wasn't anything for her to go. And meet him. And there was one of the shows that I watched, it had other female journalists talking. And they're like, I would have gone. They didn't even hesitate. You know, it wasn't anything for her to go to something like this. I mean, it was her job. And, you know, this brings into the question, because I wouldn't have gone on a submarine with a man I didn't know, but I'm nervous and, you know, very cautious. But I think
her boyfriend was too, because one of the messages just before they left in the submarine was, I'm still alive, by the way, and we're about to go down. I love you. So I think he was nervous and she was nervous. Like, well, you know, things can go wrong in a privately made submarine.
Well, and he didn't want her to go because they were having that party. I mean, she literally left their going away party to go do this.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yes, Joe Hansen, I agree. Strange men and subs.
Combine the two.
Yep. Well, it was, like I said, it gets really dark because the torso had, I think, 14 to 15 stab wounds. And a number of those were around her genitalia. So there was questions over whether or not she had been sexually assaulted. Which I don't know if that was covered. I can't remember if it was covered in the documentary or in some of the other stuff that I saw.
Well, I thought it was interesting you said that he was too meek and got kicked out of the BDSM. I don't know where that was, where you found that, but I think that's interesting.
Oh, yes. Well, he was involved in, they call it the Black Society in Europe, I guess, or at least in Denmark. But it's kind of like the BDSM lifestyle here. And he was thrown out of the group he was in because he was considered to be too meek. But I don't know. It's like I said, it's very bizarre. He obviously had some very strict fetishes, but some of the stuff, again, goes back to like his mother. He was raised by a much older father. His father was 26 years older than his mother. She was young, obviously, and the father had actually worked for the Nazis during the occupation of Denmark during World War II. And his father was a very cruel person, and he had made comments about just very weird comments about the Nazis over time. And it's kind of, I think the father had abused him and his brother, but when the dad and the mom split up, he stayed with the dad. And they said like that from that moment on was when he really seemed to take a dislike for women.
Well, and you had said to me that he viewed women like playthings, or somebody had said that.
Yeah, there is another documentary, guys, that is on Max, and it's called
previously known as HBO Max.
Yes. Anyway, it is called, I can't think of the name. Oh, Undercurrent, The Disappearance of Kim Wall. And it's more about the investigation and the disappearance of Kim with Peter. But it has the guy that he was close with that was writing his his biography was heavily featured on it. And a lot of his coworkers and people who knew him. Well, one of the guys who had known him for an incredibly long time and worked with him had said that they point blank asked him, did he have animosity towards women? And he said no. But he goes, if anything, he considered them playthings. And I thought that was interesting. It was an interesting choice of words. So, and I wondered if he just saw women as
objects.
Yeah. Something that, you know, easily disposable.
One of the interns actually did say, I think he just wanted to know what it felt like to see somebody's life be taken.
Ooh,
and the interns were, I think, critical to kind of his psyche. Did you catch that they had all been let go and like the main one had been demoted right before?
No, I didn't catch on to that.
I just thought that was interesting because it's like somebody who commits suicide almost just does all these things to kind of tie up loose ends. Like he let most of them go, demoted the one, and
that was
that last interview with that documentary person where he talked a lot about like the legal system almost.
Yeah, it was very weird. And in hindsight, and I think that's where the documentary director came in, and she just thought this was weird to begin with, but now it's taken on a whole new level of creepy. But she is also the one who did the Undercurrent documentary, and I think she felt like she had to do it. But
she also felt like she had to testify.
Yeah, she didn't like him. She said they, you know, he was pleasant enough, but they had crossed up a couple of times. And I'm thinking that she just really kind of felt like he didn't respect women, which, you know, he was having relations, which again, in the deep dive and stuff that I found out was his second wife, first off, divorced him while he was on trial. And her name has been withheld from the public eye and is like on lockdown. So we don't know who she is. But that she and he had an open relationship. And so he considered himself to be polyamorous and was quoted as saying that adults should just be able to do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it. Which is, again, another layered thing when you start looking at what he was doing. But one of the interns, the female intern, was who he was, or one of the women he was having in his poly lifestyle.
I just thought it was interesting that female intern was downright traumatized. You could tell she didn't want to have to see him again, but she knew she was going to have to go testify. And she actually was on the fence about whether or not to testify. She wasn't going to give them those text messages. Where he was saying a death plan and those kind of things. And basically, I think, because it sounded so bad.
Well, and one of the things that he had said to her was he basically said, you know, I'm going to chop you up and I'm going to take you down on the Nautilus, which was his submarine's name, and that he was going to chop her up into little pieces. And I'm sorry, I don't know what kind of foreplay you're having, Jen, but this is not the kind that I've been having.
Haven't participated in the chopping up stuff. Nope.
No, that's not sexy to me.
Well, what is sexy? That's a good question, Hadley. Go ahead. Okay. Sorry. Went off on a little thing there. Do we still have our people in the chat room? Did you guys have questions about any of it? Is anybody in there? I can't see.
I can't see either.
Oh,
you can't see. I can see. We haven't had a question since Joe Hansen said something about going down. Craig's here.
Hi, Craig.
So,
well, it would be interesting to see what the HBO one, the Max one, the documentary. My guess is every time I say Max, I always think of Cinemax, though. Don't you?
Well, it was Cinemax, wasn't it?
Well, it was HBO.
Well, now HBO it's
Max,
like,
and now they just go by Max.
Yeah. Well, it was because it was HBO. Okay, this is going nowhere fast. It was HBO and Cinemax, and they kind of came together, and then it was HBO Max.
Oh,
and okay. Then now it's like just Max.
I gotcha.
Okay. Get out of that. Sorry, Craig,
you know, Boudreaux and
no, that's Wilson.
And Wilson are involved.
Wilson likes to dig into my plants, my house plants. So I have a big, it's like 6 foot tall plant, and I see it moving. So
I see land is still here, Wilson.
Yes.
Okay, so I have to comment really quickly. I didn't see that Joe wrote, going down means so much more in a submarine. Oh, you're funny, Joe. I hadn't caught that. Okay, so I was a little behind on the chat. That's the problem.
All right. Well,
I think this guy is, yes, a narcissist, but that term is being used way too much in our society right now. He's antisocial, which means that he's going against all of the social norms. He doesn't respect laws or people and has no empathy for anybody. He's the Ted Bundy kind of antisocial. I mean, some people go, I'm antisocial. That means you don't go out and hang out with a lot of people. That's not the kind of antisocial personality disorder is a little bit different. It's more of the Ted Bundy and this guy.
But this, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but this guy to me, Ted Bundy had a look. This guy did not even have the look, you know?
Well, the whole idea of them being charismatic, I mean, he even talked about it. He's like, you know, those people that are psychopaths can be very charismatic. You just never know. And he's right. That was the problem with Ted Bundy is, did not want to believe it about him, nor did they want to believe it about this guy.
Yeah. Interesting enough, I've recently found a true crime series that the doctor who was responsible for I won't call it a profile because that wasn't the thing then, but the assessment of Ted Bundy in Utah. When we got caught trying to kidnap that girl out of that mall, the doctor responsible for like the 60-day psych evaluation on him that held him or would release him on bond, his tapes, and he's passed away now, and his family found these tapes, and then he also, because he kept up with Ted Bundy, he also had gotten tapes from other doctors and psychologists or psychiatrists that had done work with Ted Bundy. So it's like all these tapes of hidden dissecting Ted Bundy's personality. But the first episode, it not only had his notes, but it's where he's talking to Ted Bundy's family and friends about him and some of the stuff that was said. Is really interesting, but I'll send that to you. I can't think of the name of it.
There was a woman that worked with him on the crisis line. Like they worked together. She wrote a book about like when a killer is right next to you kind of thing. Ted Bundy was really good. I know you say he has a look, but he got that look later. Like,
after you kill so many people. I think he got that look after he was in jail too.
He just had a lack of empathy, which I think this guy as well, especially when it comes to women. He didn't think of them as people. He thought of them as objects to be played with and hurt. And he didn't, I don't know anything about his parents and his mother, but either way, he was a psychopath.
Oh, yeah. And he knew it. He knew he was a psychopath because he says so. He says that he was a loving, quote, psychopath. I know, right?
Just what we all look for in a guy. I'm not sure what Craig was talking about. Do you understand the whole digging in my underwear drawer?
Wilson could not be digging in my pants.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got a little confused. I gotcha.
Yes.
Or he could be a ball that you take to Desert Island with you. Nobody gets the reference. Okay.
I got it. I'm just...
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely want to watch the rest of this Max documentary because I do think it probably has a lot more, but it's a lot more about her.
Yes, it's more about her. Like I said, I found that it put a lot more of the information I was seeking to place, you know? There were questions that I still had. I mean, you know, it just didn't make sense. And it just didn't make sense. So I guess maybe getting the background about his childhood upbringing and stuff helped a little. But, and this, again, people have had time to kind of digest what happened. And I think when that first documentary made, it was all so fresh that people just didn't know what to make of it. But in 2020, I think, or no, 2022, it was 2021, it was 2 years ago. He escaped from prison by making a makeshift item that could have been confused with a gun. And he also had a...
Wasn't he working in the shop, didn't you say?
Like... I guess he was. But he also made like a tool belt that looked like a bomb belt. To force his way out of the prison.
He should never be able to make anything again like that.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, he's got, you know, in Denmark, he will have his life served after 16 years. And that's not, you know, to me, a very good sentence or good sign that he's reformed. But he had an affair with one of the female guards, and she was saying that, you know, he was talking about them running away together, and, you know, she just really had, they had really good conversations. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, you know, doesn't she realize what she's dealing with? But I mean, he's a dangerous dude. And I mean, I think that if you're into true crime and you're interested in personality, and I call it dissection, just where you take someone apart, just layer by layer, this guy, he's got more layers than on the onion. It's just really, I could see where people were fooled by him. If you see how charismatic he was when he was talking before, he wasn't, you know, ugly. He wasn't the best looking guy, but he wasn't ugly or anything. It was just, you know,
brilliant.
Yeah. I mean,
we're going to
flock again, he was considered the Elon Musk of Denmark. So he made three submarines, not just one. He made three.
And I don't know, he kept saying launches. So like he was,
that was the rockets.
Yeah. He was wanting to go into space like Elon Musk. I mean, there are some definite parallels.
Yeah. He wanted to explore.
He was I mean, one of the things that they did talk about was his need for control over everybody around him. When people didn't show up when he thought they should, not that he told them to, but he just thought they should just always be there. He would get really frustrated, and that's one of the things I think they explained that he let all of them go. Like, these are people that were engineering degrees kind of thing and wanted to learn from somebody so brilliant. Mm-hmm. And so people, it was just a very coveted type internship. And when you get fired from your internship, that's not good. Yeah. And he didn't care about that. He just wanted everybody to basically be there all the time for him to control. And when they weren't, it was a problem.
Well, another thing was they said that as it got closer to the date that he did take Kim Wall on her fateful journey out to sea, that he was getting more and more erratic, and like he was living more and more in his fantasy world, and that people were commenting on the energy that was coming off of him. So,
yes, he said something like, have you seen these videos where women are killed? Like, one of the interns was talking to him about nothing in particular, but something to do with the rocket or the submarine or something. And he just out of nowhere kind of came out with that. And he was like, it was very weird because it wasn't something that we were, it didn't, no lead up, no easy transition into it. He just was like, hey, have you seen these videos? They like are killing women. And he goes, I thought it was odd, but he's, you know, he can be an odd bird kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and that makes you wonder right there, how much extra leeway do we give odd people that they could say something like that and it wouldn't raise a red flag?
We give a lot of leeway because we don't want, again, that whole charismatic thing. Controlling and charismatic, those two are kind of indicators, and the lack of empathy are all in that antisocial category.
Yeah.
I can only be around certain people. I mean, I think one of the things that, only special people, I should say, one of the interesting things is he was not going to work for the place that he worked for before. He's like, these are my submarines, and now I have a boss again. So he left that other organization, which was only feet away from where he then planted and did this new one. So there was like a battle between him and his former place of making his subs, I guess. And there was that big whole thing with them launching on the same day. That was a big deal for him. And it was like somebody said that might have made him crack, basically.
Do you think he cracked, though?
No. I think he planned it.
Oh, I think so. I think he had been planning it. I think that she was the unfortunate person who got in the submarine with him. I don't think he planned Kim Wall to be his victim. I think it was an opportunity that he couldn't turn down. It was just getting getting a woman in that sub, you know. But I mean, and that's one thing I just don't understand, and I've had such a hard time wrestling with it, and I can only come back with, this story sounds so poorly planned. And having been in a relationship with someone who was a, you know, habitual liar, it's like, sometimes things sound so outlandish, you believe it. Wilson says hi.
Hi, Wilson.
Which, doesn't that high-pitched bark just in my ear, just so y'all know, just grates on me like a fingernails on a chalkboard. But my baby's about 60 pounds, so he is not a little dog, but he got that little squeaky-ass voice. Anyway, so this whole story, I mean, why would you murder someone who had a boat full of people waving you goodbye? You know? I mean,
I think he believed that he could talk his way out of it. I mean, he actually talked about that. Like, his dad talked to him about, you convince people what you want them to believe. And I mean, he talked about that at the very end when he was talking the whole, you know, trial, and that had nothing to do with going out on a submarine or any of his inventions or any of that. It was very bizarre that he was already talking the criminal justice system the day before he went out and killed her. I mean, if that's not premeditated, I don't know what is.
Well, putting the saw in there.
Yeah. There were other tools that were missing that went down that day with them. But yeah.
Well, and that to me is a very telling thing, that he would sink, and it was a purposeful sinking of the crime scene.
Yeah.
That he loved so much. So, you know, there had to be a lot of evidence. But some of her belongings were still on there. Like, they found her clothes, except for like her underwear. And he had kept the underwear on the submarine.
Okay, see, I didn't catch that. I did catch that she had like a change of clothes in a bag that he sunk and weighted down.
Yeah.
But he kept her underwear on there. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird?
I think it was probably an oversight.
Well, and one of the things
he wanted to get rid of out of all of it.
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting was she, and I don't understand if she had the dress or if they assumed it was that she had the dress, but or if he had a dress for her, like did he dress her up? Because on some of the stuff I read, it said that she had been tied up with her tights. And I mean, so I was like, did he have stuff on there that he was going to dress her up as? Because
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, you see her in the photo, she's got like a hoodie on.
Right.
And she had been at that party. So I thought, well, maybe that's where she had the dress from. But they were like, you know, who wears a dress to go down on a submarine? It was like she was going on a date. So then I thought, well, did she take a change of clothes to go back to the party when she was done? So I don't know. I don't understand what was going on with her clothes. And
I'm just thinking about this. Has anybody ever been on a submarine? I have not.
I went on the thing they have at like Disney World, and it's like you go down like 2 feet, but not like anything like a real submarine.
I can't. It just doesn't even like, I mean, I'm sure it was a panty dropper for him. I'm not sure about that. But like, you know, hey, I'm going to take a ride on my submarine probably was a good way to catch women. But that reminds me of Ted Bundy's Beetle.
Well, I think the submarine might be more impressive, but.
Right?
Obviously, let's. Okay, so I'm going to go there. I am going to go there. You know what is very interesting? That he picked submarines and rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting.
Like the things that don't, I mean, another part of that is that the things that happened on there kind of, he doesn't think of as anything, but it's his. So he can do whatever he wants on there. There's no laws. There's no, if you're out in space, there's no laws. If you're under the sea, people don't matter. I mean, that might have been what he was thinking. I don't know. Submarines and rockets.
I know. You see what Craig's saying?
No, I didn't see it. Yes. Well, I'm sorry, but Elon Musk's looks just like a penis. His rocket. I don't even know anybody that can look at that and not go, penis.
Well, it's all very interesting. Like I said, this was a very disturbing thing for me. And I personally have a fear of deep water. I don't like, and I mean, I'm not afraid to get out on the water, but I just don't like it. I don't like to think of what if something goes wrong and there's no one knows where I'm at. no one can get to me. And if I'm underwater, I can't get topside. You know, I don't like, these are odds I don't like. So there's that. So in conclusion, Jennifer, what would you like to say about this case?
He should serve more than 16 years.
No kidding, right?
And I don't think it's something where he will suddenly become a good human when he gets
out. No, I don't think there's enough therapy to fix this.
No. There's no magic pill on this one. Or enough time.
Craig Boland says it, but there is a wood chipper. Yeah.
True.
True that. But anyway, like I said, this was an interesting one for me. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I won't keep y'all any longer. I appreciate you for showing up, Jennifer. And Finley Jones will be back heading the Wild Women of Weird as soon as her life clears up. She's got a lot of stuff going on. It's keeping her busy and away from the Wild Women. And I'm guessing we're the only Wild Women this week.
Yeah.
So, and Landa. Landa's an official Wild Woman.
Yes. Why don't we have Landa on?
We should. We should have invited her today.
We need Landa, what do you think of that?
Yeah, Landa, you want to come on next month?
Ah, she went silent on us. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Craig says he... I was going to say...
Identifies as a Wild Woman. Yes, indeed. You are, Craig. Little wild woman, you.
Well, he knows a lot about those phallic symbols, so. Anyway, so, guys, that's going to do it for us. Next month, I'm not sure what we're talking about, but you will know as soon as I do. I'm not sure when... Oh, her comm speaker didn't work. All right.
I don't believe that, Miss Landa.
You can always call in on your telephone with the StreamYard that we use, but
yeah,
it's up to you.
But you can use your phone, Landa. That's where I was at on when I first got on. See, then I went to my computer that continuously updated forever. That's why I was multiplied for a minute. Yes.
But I do recommend anyone that's intrigued by this case, as I was, to watch these documentaries. It's very insightful. And it's weird. It really is. But not with a Y. This is the EI version. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for including me.
Well, thank you for being here, Miss Jen Sammons. I always love to spend time with my girl.
All right. I will talk to you later. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Wilson says bye.